Many analysts credit the CPA with bringing an end to two decades of civil war, which took over 2 million lives and left 4 million people homeless. The plan, which had the backing of the international community, was signed in 2005 by the southern-based Sudan People's Liberation Movement, SPLM, based in Juba, and the ruling National Congress Party, or NCP, in Khartoum. Among other things, the CPA called for the withdrawal of northern troops from the south, national elections, a census, and the sharing of oil revenues. It also called for power sharing and set a timetable for a referendum on independence for southern Sudan. Some say the CPA has fallen short of its promise. Peter Woodward is a professor emeritus of politics at the University of Reading in Great Britain.
The two parties, in a sense, have treated the CPA more like a ceasefire than a solution to their differences. And far from coming together in a government of national unity, they have tended to go their own separate ways and to have pretty bad relations between them en route.
There are several reasons for what observers say is the CPA's failure to promote unity. They say the CPA addressed the concerns of only the two main parties, the NCP and SPLM, with little input from other political groups or from aggrieved regions like the western state of Darfur. Also, several elements of the agreements were not fully supported and others were not enacted. For example, the CPA was designed to promote reconciliation, but critics say the government has not established a commission to investigate human rights abuses. The Honorable Ezekiel Lalgatguth is the head of mission for the government of Southern Sudan in Washington.
We have failed to transform Sudan into a better Sudan for all of us. If Sudan is transformed so that all of us are first-class citizens, then there is no reason for us to divide this country. But for the last 5 years, Sharia is still there. I, as Ezekiel, is staying in this country called Sudan with a special status. I have to be protected. There has to be a commission established for me to protect myself as a non-Muslim.
I think everybody recognizes that the international community, you know, took its eye off the ball with regards to the CPA for a while when focus shifted towards Darfur. And over the last year or two, focus has shifted strongly back towards the CPA, but a lot of important time was lost there.
Right.
So many of the processes described within the CPA fell behind schedule, and there was little attention to trying to keep the parties on schedule. And the whole concept of making unity attractive never really took root. And there was no real pressure to encourage the parties to make unity attractive. And so that's why, you know, over the last year or two, the international community has found itself in this real scramble to implement the core provisions of the CPA, the elections and the referenda.
In Khartoum, women are being denied their freedom, beaten, because if you dressed inappropriately to those who are actually defining how you can dress. So definitely Sudan has failed to actually stay together. The only thing that we have to do now is to make sure that we have peaceful divorce so that we live in peace.
Critics say the government has also not advanced other CPA-backed efforts to promote reconciliation and national unity. For example, it has not met its goal of setting aside up to 30% of the civil service for Southerners and introducing far-ranging legislation to reform land ownership and settle disputes. It has also not settled the boundary disputes along the oil-rich Abyei area straddling the north and south. The UN says that 2 million internally displaced people have returned south, but that more remain to be settled. El-Moise Abnoura, an economic and political consultant on Sudan based in Khartoum and Beirut, says the two sides have also failed to demobilize all soldiers and end support for proxy militias meant to destabilize each other. Abnoura was a senior economist for the Sudan Ministry of Energy before a military coup led by current President Omar al-Bashir in 1989.
At this moment, you would see some area in the north where there is still presence of SPLM or local militias supported by SPLM, and at the same time, you see proxy armies still in southern Sudan, which is supported by the government of the National Congress Party. And even recently, 5 or 6 months ago, there were two leaders of SPLM who went in mutiny, and SPLM claimed that both of them got support and finance and arms from the central government in the north. So this demobilization, I can't say that it was successful.
The CPA also promised to encourage investment in chronically neglected rural areas outside the capital and main northern cities, including Darfur. Under the CPA, state treasuries would receive development money from Khartoum, including revenues from the sale of oil. In addition, 50% of oil proceeds would go to the government of southern Sudan and Juba, the location of most of the country's oil wells. Roger Middleton is a consultant for the London-based Chatham House Research Center. He says support for development has been slow in coming.
There was a unity fund set up under the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which was to take some of the money from oil revenues and use that to spend on projects to make unity attractive. And many people will tell you actually that most of the activity from that fund has only really started in the last few months or this year. So there's been a big missed opportunity in terms of development spending, building roads, railways, schools, hospitals, and so on to show that there is a benefit to the unity, to remaining united within Sudan.
Observers say the international community should have done a better job monitoring the implementation of the CPA. John Temin is a senior program officer in the Center for Mediation and Conflict Resolution at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington.
I think everybody recognizes that the international community, took its eye off the ball with regards to the CPA for a while when focus shifted towards Darfur. And over the last year or two, focus has shifted strongly back towards the CPA, but a lot of important time was lost there.
Right.
So many of the processes described within the CPA fell behind schedule, and there was little attention to trying to keep the parties on schedule. And the whole concept of making unity attractive never really took root, and there was no real pressure to encourage the parties to make unity attractive. And so that's why, over the last year or two, the international community has found itself in this real scramble to implement the core provisions of the CPA, the elections and the referenda.
Some say the North hesitated to fully support the accords when the International Criminal Court in The Hague issued a warrant for the arrest of President Omar al-Bashir. According to this line of thought, Bashir would not be likely to cede power to any future government that might hand him over for prosecution. Others say momentum declined when SPLM leader John Garang died a few months after the signing of the CPA in 2005. Garang enjoyed a close relationship with an influential member of the government of Sudan, First Vice President Ali Osman Taha. They shared a view of a united but decentralized national government. John Ryle is the director of the Rift Valley Institute in Nairobi and a professor of anthropology at Bard College in New York.
John Garang was always very stolidly a unionist. I mean, his interpretation of the problems of Sudan was it was not a north-south problem but a center-periphery problem. And that's why the SPLM's position was never separatist. And even now, it's not officially separatist, although I think as we approach the referendum, more and more senior SPLM leaders are actually explicitly saying people should vote for separation. But John Garang, I think, had a holistic vision of Sudan, one that he could not really persuade southern Sudanese to share.
That may include voters in the south, who are expected to favor independence in January's referendum. Political observers will be watching to see if the ideals of cooperation and inclusion that are such a strong part of the CPA will nevertheless live on not only between the two regions, but within them as well. I'm William Eagle in Washington.